Welcome back to Glitchcast, episode number 63. This week, we are talking about Captain Marvel after our kind of one-week hiatus? I don't even remember. We had like a late episode that one time.
Yeah, it's Dumptuary. Is Dumptuary finally over?
Now. Yeah, we're going to be
finally got some decent movies to review here.
The hit list here for the next 2 months, maybe 3 months, I don't know. But we won't be taking a break for a bit. Especially because we'll actually have some extra content for you, because next weekend... Not this upcoming weekend, next weekend, March 22nd and 23rd and 24th, we will be attending C2E2, which is a Chicago Entertainment Expo.
If you guys are in the Chicago area, definitely hit us up. It's going to be, I think, both of ours first times there, and you know you've made it when they give you press passes, which pretty much means absolutely nothing except we get to go for free, but that's pretty cool, and we're excited to see what it's all about. A lot of cool vendors, ton of cosplayers, some cool events, photo ops, stuff like that. If you're in Chicago, definitely, if you're going to the event, hit us up.
Yeah, let us know. We can meet up. We can. We'll be shooting some footage, doing some man on the street sort of interview style stuff, talking to random people. We probably won't do like a live podcast or anything, just because it doesn't seem like that'd be too beneficial. But we will be taking some video and audio stuff and throwing that up, making something cool out of it. And so let us know if you're there. We can.
And the movie chat that week for that podcast should be Us. So if you see Us, give us your thoughts. Maybe feature on the podcast.
Indeed. All right, movie news. Warner Brothers has begun developing a sequel to the sci-fi hit Edge of Tomorrow. So that was the Tom Cruise, Emily Blunt sort of Groundhog Day alien war movie in a way, where it just reset every time Tom Cruise died. Pretty surprising hit. Extremely fun. Like one of the best action movies probably the last like 10 years or so. Feels like weird to get a sequel.
Yeah, this movie wasn't marketed well. It had a bad title, and this title is even better than what it was. Do you remember what it was called in Japan, or what it almost was called?
All You Need Is Kill is the original title.
And then it was almost like Live, Die, Kill, Repeat or something.
Yeah, Live, Die, Repeat.
I actually think Live, Die, Repeat could have been better than Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because this just sounds like a Lady Gaga song. but the movie itself was really good. Surprised a ton of people and really happy to see a sequel moving forward. That's awesome.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. I don't know where they go with the sequel or like...
It's like they're not going to have Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt. Like,
well, I think they're supposed to be back.
You think so?
Yeah,
really?
I'm pretty sure they're supposed to be back.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. But that I developing, so it could very well not actually happen. Speaking of sequels, Suicide Squad sequel, which has James Gunn directing and out this whole new fresh squad. Will Smith has exited as Deadshot. So Margot Robbie is going to be back, which makes sense because she's got like 8 other Harley Quinn movies in the works. So it makes sense for her to be back. They're getting rid of a bunch of other ones. It seems like it's pretty much a new cast outside of her. Idris Elba is going to take over for Will Smith in this.
God, I love Idris Elba, but I feel like now that he's officially joining the DC universe as this role, like that takes him out of the running for any other cool big roles. I don't know. I don't know if I like it, man. What about you?
Yeah, I'd rather him do something else.
Yeah. Just not do a Suicide Squad reboot, like, or whatever it is, 2 years after a terrible, terrible movie. He's so much better than the roles he takes, man.
He really is. Him and Michael Fassbender just taking crappy roles and figure it out, guys. That's interesting. Apparently, this movie or reboot or sequel, whatever the hell it's supposed to be, is going to be tooled around Deadshot in like an 80s comic run that was like a Suicide Squad comic run that's mainly centered around him. So I guess Idris is going to be the main star. There's a bunch of random weird superhero characters that James Gunn apparently wants to use. Most notably, Polka Dot Man, who apparently is just has polka dots. I don't know what.
Do you hear me yawning? That is superhero fatigue. Polka Dot Man.
So I'm excited for that.
God, Polka Dot Man.
So.
What does he do?
I don't know. It didn't give a description. It was just like, he has polka dots. <That's it. laughs> Will Smith now has some free time since he hopped out of that, and he was actually cast in a movie about Serena and Venus Williams' dad, who was kind of like this crazy trainer that basically like centered their entire lives around becoming these tennis pro monsters that they are. And so... That's interesting. There's a lot of people being like, why don't they just make the movie about Serena and Venus? Why does it have to be about the dad? But the dad was kind of a controversial figure, so I think that's kind of why. It's probably...
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be pretty much about them.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah. him. Like, it doesn't need to be a... Not everything needs to be a biopic.
I like it. I like it, this stepping back into, like, a good acting opportunity.
You know, we just... harped on Idris, but my man Will Smith not taking good roles in the last 10 years either. He used to be a guaranteed hit, and these days, stinkers.
He, yeah, he spent a lot of time just helping out Jaden and Willow, and now he's just kind of, now he's like an Instagram and YouTube star, so I don't know.
Just like everybody.
Yeah. Josh Brolin and Peter Dinklage are going to star in Brothers, a comedy to be written by Tropic Thunder co-scribe Ethan Coen, not one of the Coen brothers.
One of the Coen brothers.
and this dude is actually
this is the bad Coen.
Yeah, he wrote like Get Hard.
Isn't this the dude that Bill Murray thought that the Coen brothers were doing a Garfield movie, and that's why he said yes?
Yeah, that is.
And it was actually this Coen, or that's just the story Bill Murray says why he took such a terrible role.
Okay, well, yeah, so that's but happening. This is going to be like...
These two as brothers could be funny.
Yeah, it's just going to be sort of in the same vein as Twins, the Schwarzenegger-Danny DeVito movie. I don't know. Dinklage getting that post-Game of Thrones action going. Works. Sherlock Holmes 3 is apparently a thing that's happening. That's got pushed back a year to December 22nd, 2021. That's going to be like, I feel like it's got to be at least like almost 10 years after the last one was released, right?
Yeah, but Robert Downey Jr. is going to be freed up once he dies in Endgame. So, you know, he's got to start getting back into those other franchises.
I guess. He was also supposed to do like a Pinocchio movie, I'm pretty sure. Like he was going to be Geppetto.
He also bought the rights to that Black Mirror episode where you wear contacts that can like see the past or whatever.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll dive into that. But... as much as I like him as Iron Man, like I'm sure he's excited to do some other stuff.
I bet he won't die in Endgame. And
we're doing this now.
And he'll randomly pop up in other movies for, you know, a cool $5 million for like a 10-minute appearance or something. Like he did in Homecoming.
I can see it.
Yeah. Aquaman 2. This headline, come on. Aquaman 2 comes ashore. Wink. In December 2022. That's 4 years. Difference.
Wow.
For a DC movie, for like one of like their hot commodities. That feels
signal a changing of the tides?
Gross.
Yeah, let's go. Where they're not going to just crank out the next one ASAP and they're going to take their time and they're going to do it right? My answer is no, but we'll see.
Well, they're also making a trench horror movie based on the trench in that movie.
Yeah, we didn't cover that, but we really like the part of that movie. And it's just going to be a horror movie based on that?
Sure. All right. Mahershala Ali is going to star in a sci-fi film. Hot off his Oscar win. Produced by Sean Levy, who makes Stranger Things. Written by a writer of A Quiet Place. This is called Sovereign. Variety just kicked me out of the article. Here we go. Oh, the dude will actually... Wait, hold on. Mark Munden will direct. I have no idea who that is. Screenplay by the Quiet Place writers. Currently being kept under wraps. Awesome. Mm. Cool. All right.
No synopsis?
Sweet. Yeah. Yeah. Fun.
Well, our boy Mahersh getting into sci-fi. His first foray into... Well, I guess Alita.
Oh,
which
yeah.
we didn't see.
Yeah.
But he generally picks good roles, though. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't really think of like a bad movie outside of... I mean, obviously, we haven't seen Alita, but... Outside of that, I can't think of like a weird movie that he's been in, or like a big blockbuster.
And I don't think Alita is bad. Like I think it ended up being good, like probably better than we thought it would be. And I'm excited to watch it one day. But yeah, that's probably his most out there role, and should be pretty good.
Dave Franco is going to direct an Airbnb horror movie titled The Rental, starring his wife, Allison Brie, and Dan Stevens, who played the Beast in Beauty and the Beast. What do you think about this? Airbnb.
First of all, has Dave Franco ever directed anything?
No, I believe this is his first... he might have directed like a short or something, but...
Yeah, he did a short. An Airbnb horror movie. I mean, all this means is like a horror movie in a apartment, right?
So
like,
yeah, the sort of log line is like two couples go on vacation, and after weird events, they believe that the whatever the renter, whoever's renting it out, the yeah. owner of the house is spying on them or something.
Well, I mean, that's
which is kind of cool.
Very valid fear. Yeah. Like you go into someone's home, like that is their environment. Mm-hmm. There could be cameras everywhere. You know, peepholes, people in the walls, booby traps. Who knows? So. People where could they go walls. With this?
I like it. I think that could. I think this could be a cool sort of like psychological thriller kind of thing.
I agree.
And I mean, if we're basing the Franco directing talent on, you know, like what James is able to do, I don't know about that. but we'll see.
I feel like Dave's got it more together. He's not like texting 12-year-olds or whatever. Or she, I guess maybe she was 15 or 16, but. James gets a little weird. Franco's got, he locked down a wife, a real nice wife.
He did.
Yeah, we'll see. My wife.
All right. And then last up is Jordan Peele's Us, which we will be reviewing next week. Premiered at South by Southwest this past weekend to rave reviews. 100% on Rotten Tomatoes with, I think, 40-plus reviews, basically saying it's terrifying, horrifying. It might not be as good as Get Out, but it's much more of a horror movie, and it's still very entertaining, and the themes are very present and all that kind of fun stuff. So,
yeah, I've heard it's less of a commentary and more of a traditional horror movie, but with some great comedy as well, great performances, and it kind of has shown that he's not a one-trick pony. He can do it all. So this man's going to continue to make money. Woo-hoo, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go. So... that's it for movie news, TV news. Only two stories. Walton Goggins, who is, what would you say he's famous for? Django Unchained, Hateful Eight, Justified. I'm trying to think of his, he was in Tomb Raider. He was also in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Open the tomb.
He is going to headline the CBS comedy pilot, The Unicorn. Apparently it sort of switched camera formats. It's gonna be single cam, which is sort of like the thing that everyone does now. And this is he plays, you know, like a middle-aged dad who loses his wife, like she dies, and then he finds out that he is a hot commodity in the dating market, and it's about him trying to sort of traverse the dating realm after not being a part of it for a long time.
Why did this make the news?
I don't know. I just thought it sounded absolutely terrible, and I'm surprised that Walton Goggins, who seems to be doing good stuff, would be in it, you know?
It's CBS, and it's seemingly a serious comedy about a guy entering the dating world. Like, this is... Who cares? Wally Goggs, kind of a not good-looking dude, so maybe it could be funny.
He's kind of a weirdo. He's
got, like, a five head.
Yeah, I don't know. Weird. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, last movie news story of the week, has been renewed for season 7 at NBC. Woo! So we'll talk about Brooklyn Nine-Nine and what you're watching in a little bit. But yeah, all right, that's cool. I'm awesome.
But it switched over to NBC, and I think everybody's very happy that it's found success there, and we're going to get it for at least another season, I'd imagine, up to 10.
Yes. That's it for news this week. Let's talk trailers. The big one, the number one. Game of Thrones season 8 trailer released. Finally get some footage. What do you think?
First of all, I'm impressed you watched it. I know you're trying to hold out, but you know, I thought this was as good of a trailer as they could have made. I don't know. Did you ever watch Mad Men?
No.
The creators hated the requirement by AMC to put like next episode teasers and like season teasers and stuff. So they'd always just fill it with people saying like, what? Or reschedule the meeting or answer that phone or no, I told him no. And you would just get nothing out of it. And I feel like this was similar to that. Like, oh, there's a dragon in it. Oh, there's White Walkers. Oh, Arya's still alive. Like they didn't give a lot away, but it was enough to really get people hyped.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was worried about watching it and I watched it and I was like, oh, that's nothing. I'm sure if I went back and combed through like every half second to like look for stuff, it might be a little bit, but I'm not going to do that. And I'm also not going to read anyone's write-up on it, so I'm good.
We're not going to break this trailer down. Like, it was good. Yeah. It was hype, and the time is coming where I'm going to start going to therapy.
Indeed. This and Avengers end within, you know, 1 month, of each other. So it's kind of like...
Other things I've been hearing about this season are like, the people shot it for months and like literally had like fatigue and they couldn't shoot their scenes because they'd forget their lines. And apparently the like one of the first battle scenes is going to be longer than the Helm's Deep battle scene in Lord of the Rings The Two Towers. I just like, can hype level get higher, Austin? Can
it? No, it cannot. Okay. It's broken the meter and it's just spilling everywhere. Like it's mm-hmm. broken everything. Mm-hmm. Next up is the teaser trailer for Midsommar, which is Ari Aster's follow-up to Hereditary. As you know, Hereditary was one of our favorites last year. Very terrifying, dread-filled movie. He's following up with another horror movie. Comes out in August, also from A24 this time. This is about a couple and their friends that go to a Swedish town in the middle of summer for their Midsommar Festival, which happens every 90 years. And horror ensues. I, fun fact, read this entire script last week.
What is wrong with you?
I was really interested. But let me ask you what you thought of the trailer first.
I thought it looked terrifying, and it's one of, you know, a lot of horror movie buffs' pet peeves is every once in a while, can we get something going on in daylight? Like, obviously we know when it gets dark, something's going to go wrong, but this entire trailer is horror in very, very bright, beautiful settings, and I'm excited for a full movie with this setting. So, after reading the script and spoiling everything, how do you feel about
it? Yeah, it's not spoiling everything. It's the what actually happens. It's not like I'm reading a Wikipedia summary. I read every... Like, I'm ingrained in the characters, too.
But now the movie is spoiled.
I guess if you want to put it that way. But it's not like I read a plot summary. I read everything. Like, I get all the beats. I get all the character development, you know? All
right.
Anyways, I don't think this will be as good as Hereditary. But it's certainly... has a lot of room to grow on screen. So I was a little let down by the script, but I could see it being absolutely incredible on screen because I think a lot of it sort of depends on how he plays up the dread and sort of tension. Whereas like in the script, it's kind of, the script moves really fast. I'll just be honest. But I'm excited. There's a lot of freaky, weird stuff that happens in it, which is obvious.
Is there a lot of sexual stuff?
No, there isn't, actually. Well, okay. There's a little bit.
I figured it would go that
there's
route,
a little bit.
Is it more
there's
just, like, culty?
Okay, there's actually, yeah, there's a pretty important sexual thing. Okay, but there's some messed up stuff that, like, I was like,
check
wow.
Check that box off my must-have list.
That's messed up. But, yeah, I'm excited. I'm pumped for this. This is definitely one of my most anticipated. So, Dark Phoenix. The X-Men movie, the last X-Men movie from 20th Century Fox, released an official trailer. So this is centered basically around the same story as X-Men The Last Stand. Jean Grey going rogue because of the Dark Phoenix shit inside of her or whatever. I don't even know. Like, do we care about this movie anymore?
Dude, like, I saw someone on Reddit put together Jennifer Lawrence's makeup in the last 5 movies or 7 movies that she's ever been... Mystique, and in this movie it looks like they just splashed her, dunked her head in blue paint and like put a couple pencil drops on her face to like do her makeup. The quality drop from her makeup when they first started this franchise to now is unbelievable. I honestly think they're just cranking these movies out until they lose them, until they lose the rights to Disney or Marvel or whatever the heck's going on there.
Well, I think, I mean, they know that this is it. And the New Mutants apparently still hasn't gone through the reshoots that it was supposed to go through.
Yeah, that's
that
never
thing's
going to
get dumped on Hulu, though.
It's canned.
It's
going to
get
dumped
on Hulu. I'm still pumped for it.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I just like, I mean, Jennifer Lawrence has got to like die pretty quick in this movie or something, right?
Yeah, they spoil it in this trailer. Yeah. Like, sorry, spoilers, guys. But if you see the trailer, it's pretty obvious that Mystique dies. And yeah, like, the girl, what's the girl who plays her Dark Phoenix? Game of Thrones girl. Sophie Turner.
Yeah, Sophie Turner. I was going to say Sansa Turner.
I don't think she's a good actress.
No, she sucks. This is another thing.
Like the initial thing when she's crying, she's like, why would you make me do that?
Another thing, speaking of bad acting, is when young Ready Player One Cyclops boy is like, what are we gonna do, Charles or Professor? And James McAvoy just goes, I don't know what to do. It's like, that was the worst acting I've ever seen in my life.
It's gonna be a rush job. I'm thinking 30-40% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh. Yeah, I can
what
see
are you
that. I don't know. It just looks like the same movie as fucking Last Stand, too. Like, a government force, like, gets in between them. It's just, like, all that typical stuff. Although, like, Jessica Chastain throws in a little wrinkle as, like, some random alien person.
I'm excited to see what is going on with her, I think. That's the only thing I'm excited about.
I guess, yeah. I don't know. Stockholm. This is about... Oh, you know what? I didn't even watch this trailer. I forgot about it. I'm going to be honest.
We can skip it.
We're going to skip it.
It looks good, but not worthy of discussion.
Cool.
It's Ethan Hawke and Noomi Rapace.
Yeah.
It's basically, I think, how the definition of Stockholm Syndrome came about.
Yeah.
They take over a bank, they're robbing the bank, and then the teller falls in love with the robber. So,
yeah.
Looks pretty good, though. Kind of a dramedy.
Ooh, interesting.
A little bit of action.
Interesting.
A little bit of action.
I wasn't expecting comedy out of it. Booksmart is the next one. This Red Band trailer actually dropped today, Monday. This premiered at South by Southwest to, again, rave reviews. Basically, people saying, like, it's, like, super bad for Next Generation. This is actually Olivia Wilde's directorial debut. You know her from... She's been in a lot of stuff. I don't even...
Tron, Friends with Benefit. I mean, we're picking some obscure roles of hers. I'm sure
she was
she's
on House.
Boss movies. Yeah. Everybody knows who Olivia Wilde is.
But yeah, this is basically about two girls that spent their entire high school not partying, not going out, like not being super social, just so they could get good grades and get into good schools. On the last day of high school, they realize, how come everyone else that was partying also got in the same schools? And they're like, well, fuck it, we're going to start partying. So straight comedy, raunchy kind of thing. I think it looks hilarious. I'm pretty excited.
It does look funny. The whole aesthetic and like them doing like kicks and stuff, like it's very Superbad, like extremely inspired by Superbad. And I've definitely seen these two gals in something. Did you recognize them?
Beanie Feldstein is Jonah Hill's sister. She's from Lady Bird and Neighbors 2.
Lady Bird. Okay. And then the other one
is Caitlin Deaver, I think her name is, maybe.
Detroit? I didn't see that. Oh, Short Term 12. I've seen her in Short Term 12. Yeah, it looks really funny. Really funny.
Yeah.
Clearly inspired by Superbad, but also, like, I'm all for it.
This next one, I can't wait to talk about. Good Boys. Also had a Red Band trailer drop today. Kind of funny. Seth Rogen produced. Starts out with him telling these three young boys that they aren't able to watch the trailer or watch their movie that they starred in because there's too much swearing and sex and violence and all that stuff, and they're not allowed to see it, even though they were in it. So that was funny. Then the actual trailer happens. It's about these three sixth graders, I don't know, being raunchy. And first off, Jacob Tremblay, my mortal enemy, is in this. Jacob Tremblay, die, bitch, you suck. And
saw that.
I just don't think this movie looks funny. I think it looks stupid.
I liked the jab at the MPAA.
Yes.
By they basically saying like the MPAA sucks, so you can't even watch the trailer that you starred in. I think the lure of seeing really really young kids drop the F bomb is going to wear off pretty quickly. This is basically super bad for like grade school kids. Yeah. God, I had something else, but I can't remember. There was something really funny.
All the kids just seem like they suck too. I'm gonna be honest. I did like the the sippy cup joke though. He's like drinking on a juice box, and he's like, "Does this look like sippy cup?"
Yeah, the allure of the swearing is gonna wear off quick. It better actually be funny. Oh, this is what I was gonna say. I watched Booksmart and Good Boys back to back, and the same song is in both
trailers. Yeah.
It was like roll up to the party with a bag of dicks, and I was like, "Wait, I just heard that lyric." What is going on? And they're very similar movies where it's just like kids being raunchy.
Yeah, it was like the same trailer production company took both of them and was like, let's just recycle. This feels like too much work
to
find another
song.
Last trailer of the week is for Late Night. This is a movie that premiered at Sundance. This is an Amazon Studios movie. Basically got kind of, you know, like above average reviews. It's a comedy. Emma Thompson stars as a late night host who basically gets told that she is in her last year, like they're gonna get rid of her after this year. And she runs basically, she has her writer's room is essentially just a bunch of white dudes, and then Mindy Kaling comes on, obviously not a white dude, and tries to inject some, you know, a different viewpoint into it. I think it looks fine. It looks like it'll be fun, might be kind of funny, but it doesn't look like it's gonna be like groundbreaking or anything crazy.
Yeah, it looks funny. Looks like it'll have something to say. Like it'll have a good message. I think we both got that across. definitely a good streamer. We're not going to be sitting in the Dolby AMC A-list for this one, are we?
Speak for yourself.
Okay.
You kidding me?
I don't know how you're going to do it. It's literally impossible since it's going to be streaming on Amazon.
No, it isn't. Probably. It's going to be in theaters. Amazon Studios produced it and is distributing it. Other famous Amazon Studios movies, The Big Sick, Manchester by the Sea, Beautiful Boy.
Clearly not in Dolby theaters.
All Dolby theaters. That's it for trailers this week. Let's talk about what we've been watching. So we have three similar ones. Let's just talk about those.
Let's do Brooklyn
it. Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Let's talk about it. So I switched over to NBC. The first episode I thought was hilarious. This has been a down season in my mind.
This is the first time I'm watching it week to week instead of binging. So it's harder for me to like remember this season as a whole. But yeah, like, I haven't been cracking up. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's been pretty safe. They're overusing the, hey, we can swear and get it bleeped now thing. And there's been a couple preachy episodes. Yeah, it feels kind of off, but I think that's it's a transitional season.
I guess, but like, it's not like that much has changed. You know, it doesn't need to be transitional.
I mean, I have no idea what's changed. Do they go to a different studio? Are they dealing with different
directors? It's all the same stuff. It's all the same stuff. They just happen to be on a different channel.
Okay. Then, yeah, I can't. There's no change in writers or anything. Like, it just feels different.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It doesn't. I mean,
it's still funny.
It's still kind of funny.
It's still one of the best comedies that I watch. I was looking forward to the season more, and it's just so-so.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's still, who knows, 10 episodes left, so it could certainly kick up. But a part of it, I think, is that not that, like, you know, a half-hour comedy has to have, like, a through-line plot and everything, but it feels like it kind of stalled out. Like, it was kind of, like, centered around, like, last season was very centered around Amy and Jake getting married, Captain Holt Spoilers, trying to become shit. Chief. Mm-hmm. Chief, yeah, and that kind of stuff, and Amy trying to become sergeant and all that kind of stuff. And it feels like now they kind of like they had like one episode where they were focusing on Holt trying to become chief, but other than that, it feels like nothing.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's those big arcs like like things that are taking, you know, the entire season to resolve. It's just quick one-off episodes.
Yeah. Has the Halloween episode happened yet?
I don't know, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, no, it hasn't. That feels like something that should happen soon. That'll really kick
rejuvenate us.
Yeah. Nothing like a Halloween episode in March. Broad City. Broad City's in its final season on Comedy Central. I think this season has been very funny.
I think it's been funny. Yeah, I thought last season kind of sucked, but this season has been better.
Yeah.
They're hilarious. You can see that they're kind of starting to wrap things up. These girls are going to make some big choices and grow up a little bit. So that's funny seeing them deal with that. Yeah, it's been a good season.
Yeah, and I like my favorite episode so far has been the like the WeWork kind of one.
Yeah,
She-Work. Yeah, that shit was so funny. I loved it. It was such a ridiculous, absurd thing that like might actually work for like a little bit.
I like the one where Hannibal Buress and her were negotiating their relationship contracts, and it's just so funny. Well, it's all right. Well, I'd like to talk about this article. I want 5 rom-coms a year. She's like, no, we'll get 3, and I won't make fun of 2 of them. Like, that shit's hilarious.
Yeah. So another highly recommended one. You're the Worst. Also, it's in its final season. What do you think about this?
Man, this has been a roller coaster of her emotions. Like, there was one really bad episode, I thought, when they just went off and did their own thing without the two leads.
Yes.
And that was annoying right after a big dramatic moment. Yeah. But this season has been as bipolar as her, you know, disorder, seemingly. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's all right. It just feels like I want them to wrap it up. It feels like they're just kind of like slogging because they've already done like a couple like jump forward in time, like one scene per episode. And you're just kind of like, okay, we understand what's going to happen. Just tell us what's going to happen after that. It's like, at this point, I just want to know, are they like going to be together or no?
Yeah. And that's
because they're not getting into like as many shenanigans anymore. It's just more like relationship stuff. And I'm like, get into shenanigans.
It's just them fighting
or
and like really serious talks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's less funny and more like, hey guys, depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, these things exist. We're like, we know.
Yeah.
Like,
we already spent a whole season on it. Come on.
Multiple seasons. Yeah. PTSD with the roommate. Like, I get it.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for what we've been watching. That's the same
together.
What else have you been watching?
Did you watch the movie Serenity with Matthew McConaughey and Anne
Hathaway?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I didn't watch it, but I read all about it, and it sounds
you did.
Hilarious.
Okay. So, without spoiling it, it might be about a monster. It might be about sci-fi. It might be about fishing. It might be about being in the Matrix. It might be about religion, and maybe someone's a god or not, or the devil. There is so much going on here that you really don't know until halfway through the movie, and it takes an unbelievable twist that I just couldn't get enough of. And I just want people to watch it because there's a good movie in there, and then the twist happens, and then it's, oh my god.
I believe that the twist might be the best twist of all time.
Don't spoil it. Oh, best twist of all time?
I think so. It's gotta be.
I agree. There is some pretty bad acting from our boy MM. He is messing up the McConaughey's, I tell you what. I don't even know how to rate it. I can't rate it. But watch it just for the shenanigans.
Sad.
What have you been watching?
My other two are Crashing, which I actually brought up, but I just found it had its season finale last night, and it actually is not getting brought back for another season, but this third season has been absolutely incredible. First two seasons are all right, but this third season has been really good, basically about a struggling comedian, sort of his growth, that kind of thing. Stars actual comedian Pete Holmes, but it's really, really funny, really interesting. Judd Apatow produced and co-written and co-created and all that fun stuff, so highly recommend. Third season's incredible, so kind of depressed that it didn't get a fourth season. Then The Bachelor. I just want to talk about The Bachelor.
Oh, boy.
Guilty pleasure to the max. The Bachelor
for
is...
two female listeners.
The Bachelor is one of the best shows on TV.
Stop it.
It is. And that's a fact. There's not a show that I look forward to more every week.
We got to work on you, dude.
Quit being... No. You're... No.
The Bachelor. Okay, go ahead.
It's great. It's great. That's all I got to say.
That's
I just
it?
Think that people
okay,
should give it a better
God.
Chance because it's hilarious watching these terrible yeah. dynamics and watching like to being able to figure out like it's so clearly what the producers are like pulling the strings on. And it's so yeah. fun to like watch them pull that bullshit. Also, in the last episode, this is actually very important. The dude. So there's three women left. They're in the fantasy suite thing where it's basically like, oh, they go and bang in this fantasy suite overnight. Dude is apparently a virgin. There's absolutely no way. It's got to be a lie.
What?
He's a former football player. But basically, he goes on this one date, doesn't have sex with the chick. They come out and say that. Then he goes on the next date with this other girl, and he basically tells her that she's going to win, and then she says that she's leaving. And he's like, no, like, I don't care about the other two girls. Like, you're the one that I want to be with, and I'm going to propose to you. He's like, if you don't even want to get engaged, we don't have to get engaged at the end of this. I just, like, want to date you. Instead of, like,
yeah.
doing what the show is actually about, where it's, like, forcing two people that have known each other for a month and a half to get engaged. And it was,
oh
like, he went so off book. And then he went and jumped a fence when the chick left in the middle of, like, Portugal and was just, like, running away.
From, like, the
from
show?
From the show, yeah.
Oh, my God.
See? Great. Good stuff.
Fun fact, I went to grade school and high school with a gal that was on The Bachelor.
Ooh. I was good friends in high school with the brother of one of the Bachelors.
Yeah, wasn't Sarah good friends with him, too?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I think did she date him? No.
She dated one of his younger brothers.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. God, we're famous. Okay, let's talk about Captain Marvel.
Yeah, Captain Marvel time. All right. Captain Marvel, 80% Rotten Tomatoes, 59% audience score, although I'm pretty sure they got tanked because people are...
Yeah, a bunch of, like, just Russian bots bringing it down because some men just hate women.
Yep, but it still debuted number one at the box office, made $153 million domestically, $455
Ooh,
million
baby.
Worldwide on a $152 million budget. Take that for your ban. Packed with action, humor, and visual thrills, Captain Marvel introduces the MCU's latest hero with an origin story that makes effective use of the franchise's signature formula. Stars Brie Larson, Samuel L. Jackson, Ben Mendelsohn, Annette Bening, feels like Jude Law. How could I forget him? Hot Dumbledore.
Hot Dumbledore, yeah.
A cool cat. Clark Gregg's in there for like a little bit as Agent Coulson. De-aged Sam Jackson too, which I thought looked outstanding. We'll get to it, but overall, we discussed the trailers when they came out, and I was a little bit weary. I even said it in mm-hmm. the monthly movie preview that I put out last week. A little bit, I didn't think it was going to be very good. I was shocked at how much I liked it.
Yeah, we both. I think this really affects me, and it shouldn't. Expectations. Like, Sarah went in expecting to hate it. She thought it looked really bad. I went in just expecting to just be like, whatever. It looked, you know, you and I were thinking, man, this just doesn't. We're not hyped. Went in there with low expectations and came out like, yeah, that was good. Like, I didn't like the first act. I loved the second act, and I kind of liked the third. Like, it was a good MCU entry.
Yeah, I didn't, like, I don't think it was, like, groundbreaking or crazy or, like, awesome, outstanding visuals or, although literally the very first opening shot where it's, like, the slow-mo close-up of, like, her falling in the sand, that was, like, the most beautiful shot I've ever seen in my life, and that just didn't look like that the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
But,
so the direction and editing and, like, some of it was just terrible.
Yeah.
Like, nothing, you can't take anything home about this movie.
Yeah, it was barely just kind of, like, boilerplate. Typical kind of Marvel movie, but it was entertaining, and I think it served as like a good origin story without feeling like it was a like the typical bogged down origin kind of stuff.
We were really nervous about Brie Larson. We were like, what is going on with her? But I think they just picked bad scenes, and maybe they did some reshoots to get her a little bit more charismatic, because I walked away okay on it.
Yeah, no, that was another aspect. I think if she was performing how she did in the trailers, or what they revealed in the trailers, I would have thought it was trash. But she wasn't, like, outstanding, but she was still pretty good. And I think part of it was, like, she has amnesia for most of the movie or whatever, so she's, like, kind of aloof a little bit, which I think is, like, plays into it a little bit. But I did like her kind of, like, cocky, you know, rebellious kind of attitude a little bit.
Yeah, although she got a little too smug for me. Like, there was a lot of like, well, like, and then a one-liner and she smiles smugly at Sam Jackson. But I did like their dynamic. I thought they played well together. And yeah, you're right, that could be some of the best CGI I've ever seen in my entire life. There wasn't one time where I was like, oh man, that looks pretty bad.
I
like where we've come from. Tron Reloaded or whatever that movie was is unbelievable.
I was blown away, and I was trying to figure out, I was like, is it makeup? Like, that, no, that can't be makeup. And it's actually all CGI, and it's like, there's no,
wait, hold on, they didn't just CGI him, like, he acted and then they CGI'd his face to make him look here. I was gonna say, holy shit.
No.
Don't do that to me. We've gone too far if that's the case.
But yeah, like, there's not a single moment where you're like, oh, that's CGI. It just looks like
there was one moment when he was fighting someone, and I think they still use Sam Jackson. I'm like, he's kind of moving like an old man, but it just, that was just him. That wasn't his face. His face was flawless. And I was blown away.
He was a very high point of the movie too. Like, I think based on his former, like, him appearing as Nick Fury before, he's fine, but I don't think he's anything that stands out. He stood out in this. Like, you could tell that he's like having fun. They let him like kind of have a personality as opposed to just being like, we need the Avengers.
The stoic, like, we need a team guy. Yeah. Outside of that, though, I think some of the other CG was pretty bad. You know, and just didn't have much weight to it. You know, she's just a video game character kind of blasting through stuff most of the movie.
Yeah. I think part of the issue is that she seems very overpowered. And we can get into, like, what we think will happen in Endgame and stuff, or, like, how that'll play out. But she's, like, God.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like an affinity. She is an Infinity Stone, basically. Like,
and obviously, the movie works because, like, for most of the movie, she's like still trying to harness her powers or whatever. But like, once she has them, it's like, no one could beat her. Like,
she becomes a Super Saiyan Dragon Ball Z character with unlimited power.
She flies through ships and just explodes them, and it just floats there. Like,
yeah, we'll talk about that. But yeah, some of that CG pretty bad. But some of it really, really good.
I'm trying to think of what else non-spoilery.
90s. We know this is set in the 90s. You see the blockbuster in the trailer. Music was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I liked some of the 90s jokes that they made. I don't want to spoil them. Things like how the internet was in the 90s compared to how it is now. How fast technology was compared to how it is now. I thought they hammered it home a little too much in some scenes. But it was really cool. I liked it. I'm a 90s kid, so...
Yeah, and I think, like, I don't know. Like, I don't think they hammered it over our head. Like, okay, we get it. Like, we're in the 90s. It's fun to, like, kind of make jokes about the 90s and stuff. And, it, like, it's not, you know. I read an article today where people were like, oh, like, yeah, just let it be in the 90s. You don't have to constantly reference it. But, like, I enjoy the references, okay? Let me be nostalgic. Yeah.
I do too. Like, this is in the 90s. Why, might as well have fun.
Yeah,
with it.
Yeah. And it's not like it's not like we've had a bunch of 90s movies. We've had a bunch of 80s movies with the synth score and like all that stuff. So I could understand being tired of that. But like, this is like one of the first 90s movies that I can think of. Mm-hmm. So
speaking of the score, I thought it was pretty good. Nothing too notable, but it kind of had some Ragnarok synth to it for a couple scenes. And then, you know, sounded like every other Infinity War or Avengers type sound as well.
Couldn't tell you. Can't remember it at all. So it didn't stand out to me.
What about the cat?
Love the cat. Deuce. Cat was outstanding. One of my favorite characters.
MVP. Yeah. Yeah, that's all we'll say.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Ben Mendelsohn, another outstanding character in this. Yeah, he...
So good.
He gets to play a wide range because he is one of the... Kree, right?
The Skrull.
No, he's a Skrull.
He's a Skrull. Kree are...
Oh, yes, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's one of the Skrulls who can, like, shapeshift into other, you know, things. Yeah. And so he gets to kind of play around with that, and I thought he did really well. He was pretty fun.
Yep. What else we got? I want to spoil it.
I don't have anything else.
Okay, I've got a... Oh, well, never mind. I'll save this. Do you have a review for me?
Go ahead.
I'm not even going to ask anymore. Captain Marvel was a decent entry in the MCU, but it was mostly just okay, and it was the most just okay entry since, like, Doctor Strange. It doesn't reach, like, Thor 2 levels of meh, but following Infinity War was always going to be really tough. The movie did feel like a setup for something far more impactful and big, and we all know what that's going to be, so I guess it gets a pass, because it was fun. B minus.
Okay. I went in with extremely low expectations, like I said, and those expectations might have helped it out a little bit, expecting so low, because I came out having had a very fun time, one of the most fun times that I've had in the theater in a while. I wasn't sort of like bored by the fact that it was an origin story. It wasn't really constantly origin-y, and I think that's sort of helped by the fact that it's not... I don't even know how to describe it, but the some of the twists don't work out. Some of the twists are very telegraphed and like obvious. There's a character named Mar-Vell, and they like it feels like every time they say it, they're like winking at the screen, like
yeah,
we're the Marvel
good
universe.
Name.
Yeah, and so that's, you know, that's a whole thing. But the comedy works. It's not constant, you know, one-liners trying to one-up each other. CGI is fantastic. Great villains in a way, which we'll get to. And, yeah, I actually had, like, I, like, kind of want to go see it again, and I haven't really had that feeling for a movie in a bit, and so I'm going to give it a B+.
There you go. Okay. Boy, it's all about expectations and setting them low, setting them high, or just not having them, and it's tough to keep those in check sometimes.
Yeah, it is. All right, let's spoil this thing. Non-spoilers over. Spoilers now. If you don't want to be spoiled, stop listening. We will be back next week with a review of Us. Spoilers, Captain Marvel.
Stan Lee intro tribute, very touching.
Indeed.
I had people in my theater tearing up already.
Indeed, yeah, it was nice.
And then we get to see him again. I didn't think we'd get another cameo.
Yeah, I didn't think so either.
That was great to see.
I thought he didn't record for Captain Marvel or End War or End Game End War.
Do you think they're gonna CG him in future ones?
No,
I feel like that'd be stupid.
That would be wrong. That would just be wrong.
I read something that it would be hilarious if they had to actually have Captain Marvel fight Stan Lee as the old person on that train. That'd be hilarious.
That would be brutal. Oh, that would be
it
so
would be
bad.
not a good tribute.
It'd be like laughing, but you'd have to like laugh to yourself. You don't want other people to know that you're laughing at it. Speaking of that, I thought that scene was hilarious. I love how like all the other passengers just on looking were
holding
horrified.
Her back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like yelling "World Star" in my head because that's what people would do is they saw just like an old woman get like "World Star." That was a pretty good action scene, but one of the few that I thought were very good. Some of the action was pretty bland and like, oh, she's, you know, using superpowers, being a Super Saiyan, blasting through ships.
I liked the action scene on like the spaceship or the space laboratory or whatever the hell it was supposed to be where all the Skrull were being held. I liked her fighting. Like the basically the crew that she used to run with in that like one room.
Yeah, because she's just a girl.
Yes,
that song choice was a little on the nose, but yeah. I get it. It was fun.
Yeah.
How about the biggest plot twist in the world, where Ben Mendelsohn is finally not a bad guy.
Was I, like, I, were you like me, where you were just expecting him to pull another fast one? Like, he was, like,
yes,
triple crossing them?
I was not, I was suspicious of him till the very end.
Yeah, yeah. Until I saw him because, in a zip-up hoodie around his weird green body, I was like, all right, okay, okay.
We've been conditioned. Yeah. Ben Mendelsohn is the bad guy. Yeah. So I was expecting a triple cross for sure.
Yeah, so that was actually very impressive. I know that I kind of ripped on the twists and stuff, but I would say the other twist is the one that was expected. This one certainly not, because Ben Mendelsohn never, you know, the good
guy. He was
guy.
Hilarious as well, like so funny.
Yeah, he got to hit all the ranges. He got to play the villain. He got to play like the sort of like smart leader lab technician kind of guy or whatever. Speaking of lab technician, the scientist dude for the Skrull,
so hilarious,
that just gets murdered like, and they just don't care about him.
He's the true MVP of this movie.
He really is. Yeah, he gave up his life to distract.
He did.
And then he
it
gets
was
to,
hard f- no go ahead
and then Mendelsohn gets to play, you know, the good guy and a father figure and be like a comedic genius at the same time.
On that note of you thinking he was going to triple cross, like, it was hard for me to really empathize with things that look like orcs from Lord of the Rings. I was like just watching this family like hug each other and give kisses. I'm like, these are disgusting, vile, smelly orcs. It's hard for me to be like, aw, they have a family. But yeah, definitely played on our expectations a little bit. And I definitely saw Jude Law being bad coming, but I didn't see the Skrulls.
Jude Law being bad was like the easiest thing to pick out of all time.
Also, the whole movie, you can tell like he knows more and he's been lying to her.
Yeah. Right also, away. The Annette Bening character, bad. I didn't think she was good.
Worthless.
It was pointless. Like she was literally almost like a MacGuffin who's just there to like make the, like, it's like this object that just makes the plot move for no reason.
And I think people might be confused whether she was good or bad, since she takes the form of the AI, I guess, later in the movie, and she's acting bad, but that's not really her. It just takes the form of who you, I guess, look up to.
What do they call it? The super intelligence or something?
Yeah.
That thing sucked. That was pointless. I didn't care about it. It didn't add anything other than they didn't go. This is part of the problem with Marvel movies, is like that could have been a very cool sci-fi thing that we could have had and like learned more about if they felt like building up the Kree society or whatever. But like, that's not what the movie was about. And like, we didn't spend enough time on that. It's more about Captain Marvel origin story. And so like, when they put that in, it's something that would be cool to learn more about if we knew more about it. But because we didn't, it's just kind of a pointless thing.
Yeah, and they like, it's somewhat fantastical and strange and mysterious, but then they don't lean enough into it. And I saw a comment on Reddit where it was like, the first third of the movie was like Guardians of the Galaxy, but not funny. And that was true. I wasn't into that first scene. Like, it was really dark. I didn't know who was punching who. I didn't know the backstory. When it got back to Earth, the movie really started to take off for me.
Yeah, it was almost like a buddy cop comedy once it was back on Earth, just Brie Larson and Sam Jackson playing off each other. So that was like fun. It was like they were on the run, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas in space, it was just kind of like, okay, like, all right.
I don't, whatever.
This is happening. What do we think? This is kind of jumping ahead a little bit. But like, what do we think Captain Marvel's been doing for 25 years?
Lifting weights? I don't know. She's got to be like overpowered as hell now. Like, how are they going to nerf this woman? Like, she was a god barely knowing her powers, and all of a sudden she becomes Super Saiyan and she can fly, blast or anything.
Like, she could
seemingly can't get hurt.
She could fuck up Thor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like,
you can give Thor the Infinity Gauntlet and he'd still have trouble.
So like, I don't understand how Thanos is supposed to have any sort of.
She's going to have to get nerfed big time.
Yeah, they're going to have to do something. But it also, it's just like, where has she been? I understand, like, there probably hasn't been a need for her on Earth because they've had the
Avengers.
Yeah,
is Fury not paging her when a hole opens up in the sky and literal giant beasts the size of buildings come down from another dimension?
Well, I imagine it takes her a little bit of time to get back to Earth from wherever she is in the galaxies.
Sure.
And so, like, that was a pretty immediate threat.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Okay, that might get a pass.
Yeah.
But boy, there have been some world-ending stuff that he hasn't used that pager for, and it's not until he's becoming literal ash that he decides to press it.
Well, it's also sort of similar with some of the other standalone movies where it's like, why don't they just call their buddies in the Avengers and they can solve this very quickly?
That's true.
Like, pretty much all the Iron Man movies could be solved if he just called one other person.
Just call Thor.
Yeah.
It's over. Yeah.
So I don't know. That kind of stuff's interesting to think about in a way that, like, you got to remember that you turn your brain off for these movies as well.
I think they do the whole bad guy giving a speech and good guy cut speech off too soon with a immediate big power move a little too much in these Marvel movies. I kind of expect it at this point.
I'm trying to think, when else have they done it?
Loki did it to, Hulk did it to Loki. I'm pretty sure it happened in Guardians of the Galaxy when whatever the Destroyer was doing a speech and then somebody just blasts him.
Well, so when he was doing, Chris Pratt started doing the dance to distract him. So this is a little play on it.
There was, no,
that is it.
No, there's been more.
That's,
I can't think of
it.
Them.
That's the end of the movie.
I'll Google it. No. Well, there was
he's
more
giving
in
a big monologue
movies.
And Chris Pratt is dancing. And he's like, "What are you doing?"
I'll Google it.
All right.
But this is probably, I'd say, the fourth or fifth time.
I liked this version of it because it wasn't just a bad guy monologuing to monologue. It was him realizing that he literally had no chance, and he thought the only way to beat her was to, like, philosophically defuse her, and she was just like, "I'm not having any of it." So I liked it this time.
Yeah. I expected it, though. I'm just saying it didn't really work for me, but I get why it was impactful, because he was, like, just being a squirmy little bitch and, like, "Fight me with your fists." How about Fury losing his eye in the least, like, the most lame way possible?
I loved how they played with that the entire movie. They did, like, little fake-out gags the entire time.
How's your eye?
Yeah.
It's fine.
I loved it. I thought it was hilarious.
I like when the cat / Skirkle or whatever it was.
Flurkle.
I don't even know.
Flurkle.
Flurkle. The cat scratches him. He's like, "It's just a scratch." And the Skrulls are like, "No."
Yeah.
That's all. And then it cuts away.
Yeah.
They're just like, "No." End scene.
I don't understand it. Is it, like, always a cat? Like, this cat is just a monster all the time? Like, that's what a Flurkle is? Or is this a monster that inhabited
here?
It? Yeah, I don't.
I guess she brought it down because, hold on, was Annette Bening a Kree or a Skrull? She was
a Kree.
A Kree. And then she sided with the Skrulls,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yes. Got it. Okay.
Where's the cat been? Because it feels like Nick Fury loves it, which was another great aspect of the movie, was him just, like, being very cuddly with a cat. And now, where's the cat? Maybe he loses it. Maybe that's why he's so gruff now.
Ooh. I mean, a cat wouldn't live that long, but I don't know how long a Flurkle
lives.
Flurkle,
come on.
Yeah.
A cat can live pretty long. Cats live up to 20 sometimes.
That's true. You know what? That's how they beat Thanos.
The cat.
Goose. Goose is the key.
You're probably right. I bet you're right.
Don't at me. I got this.
Bring it, Russo brothers.
Yeah.
Post-credit
scene? Anything else?
I'm trying to think. I feel like I had one other thing. Oh, the only other thing was Ben Mendelsohn showing up in his alien getup, drinking, like, a milkshake, which I thought was hilarious. It might be, like,
and
my
just
favorite
being
picture
like,
of all time.
And just being, like, super low-key about it. It's like, "All right, listen, you hate me, I hate you, but I got some good info for you. If you sit down and listen, I think you're really going to like what I got to say."
What is this 1800s English accent? That can't be your
that
Australian
was
accent.
That was him.
No,
he was like,
it
was
accent.
It's like he was talking through his makeup and mask. He had a little bit of a gruff spin to it.
All right, fair enough. Another thing I liked, just a little wrinkle, is the fact that Nick Fury's boss also looks just like Ben Mendelsohn and speaks in the same voice that Ben Mendelsohn alien has.
Yeah,
he had to be thrilled that the voice matched up perfectly with the man.
He also loved him. He was like, "I like playing that guy with those beautiful blue eyes." That was good.
Oh, so good.
He was in love with him.
I don't have anything else.
Post-credits. Did you stay for both post-credits?
While waiting for the first one, I looked up what the second one was because I knew it wouldn't be as
and
important.
Then
and then left.
Yeah.
I didn't care about it.
All right. Post-credits seems like it's just the scene,
scene
from Endgame.
Yeah, a scene from Endgame for sure.
Yeah. She shows up and says, "Where's Fury?"
Mm-hmm. I hope that, like, I'm interested in how she's going to play, like, it in Endgame and how she sort of interacts with the rest of the team. Because I want her to sort of be like, "I don't really give a fuck about the rest of these people. Like, I'm only here because Nick Fury wanted me to be here for, like, a little bit." So,
yeah, she's like, "Nick Fury's the only guy I trust."
Yeah.
So where's he? I don't care about this stupid little team up you guys have going, the stupid club. I don't want any part of it.
Yeah.
She's never really been on a team, so this will be very interesting on her what her dynamic will be.
Yeah.
Like, she may not want to fight this at all.
Yeah, and it seems like she'll show up pretty fast, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, assuming Avengers is like going to be like 3 hours long or 2:45 or something, would be my guess. I imagine like the first half hour is going to be spent in the aftermath, and then we'll get moving. And so like she should be there pretty soon.
I heard there's going to be an intermission for Endgame, or they were thinking about
there's
it.
There's no way.
No, they were toying with the idea of an intermission.
There's no way
it's going to be so long.
Be an intermission. There's no way.
I think
way.
That'd be awesome.
There's no, that would be
I'm
so going to
have
stupid.
To pee. There's I'm not going to drink for like 3 days before this movie comes out.
I'm just going to install a catheter for it, actually.
Oh, me too. I'm already rigging it up.
Amazon priming it. Need it now.
The final scene is, yes, Goose puking up the Tesseract. And it was pretty funny. But
Goose?
I knew that it was going to be something stupid. I actually called it being about the cat. But what are you going to do? It was funny.
Mafflerical. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't stay for it. I didn't care enough.
That's all I got, man. Pretty good. Low expectations helped. And God, next one is Endgame, right? What do we got? A month?
Yeah, we got basically a month and a week, month and 2 weeks.
Oh, I've heard people have said we did a good job on Infinity War, and I think we need to do the same thing where we kind of go through every beat, every setting. It's going to be a daunting task. This is going to be a long movie, and I'm not ready.
I feel like I'm going to have to see it like twice before we record.
We might have to see it twice before we record. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's gonna be tough. I mean, like, I'm not going to be mad about that, but
me neither. No.
AMC A-list. Give me powers.
That's right.
Okay, thank you for listening. Captain Marvel, you gave it a B-.
Yep, B-.
I gave it a B+. Hello, Carbon.
Pretty good.
Thank you for listening. Remember to like, subscribe, review, all that fun stuff. Check out glitchup.com. Finally had like a new piece of two new pieces of content in the past week, actually. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we'll keep that going. And then we'll actually have video content next week. Let us know if you're going to be in Chicago, meet up with us. Let us know if you're going to be at C2E2, meet up with us. Maybe we can do a little fun interview with you or something, ask you your thoughts on us. So go see us, because that's next week. Let us know what you thought of Captain Marvel, and we'll see you next week.
Remember, tweet us to meet us.